I want to take my text from Philippians chapter 2. I will just read 6 verses or 7 from verse 5 to verse number 11. I'll be reading from the New International Version of the Bible. Philippians 2 from verse 5. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Let everyone say amen. Amen. Since the turn of the year, we've been doing a study on the person and attributes and the characteristics of Jesus Christ. We've talked about Jesus, his divine personality. We also talked about that Jesus as the creator. We talked about Jesus as the suffering servant and Jesus the Lamb of God last week. Regarding his divine attributes, we talked about Jesus as divine wisdom and Jesus as the indescribable glory of God. So all of this is on our YouTube channel. So you could go there, 20, 30 minutes clips of each of the Sunday messages, and you'll be able to follow through all of this discussion. As to what he represents, we talked about his blood being the basis for the forgiveness of our sins and the basis for the salvation of mankind. We are today going to talk about his name. His name. And that brings me to this particular clip I want you to look at. There are various names all through the Bible, particularly in the Old Testament, that God has been referred to, or that God has revealed himself to mankind. So what happened in the Old Testament? Because Jesus had not yet come on earth to live as man, God was then revealing himself in phases or in quantums. God was just showing a glimpse of himself. Various names in the Old Testament that God was referred to. You would hear about Abba. You would hear about Adonai, which is actually the Lord, the sovereign Lord or master. You hear about Alpha and Omega. That's particularly in the New Testament, which is the beginning and the end. You hear about the Ancient of Days. I'm not Hebrew, so I will not be able to pronounce the Hebrew words quite well. Please forgive me. Or Atik Yohum. That's how I saw it online. You hear about El Hai, which is the Lord that lives, or the living God. You hear about the God of knowledge, El Dia, or El Elyon, which is the most high God. You hear about El Gibor, which is the mighty God. You hear about El Olam, which is the everlasting God. As I was going through, I remembered Isaiah 40 verse 28. Have you not heard, have you not known that the Lord God, the everlasting God, the creator. There was a reason why all of those reputations are there. In that same scripture, you would hear about Adonai, you will hear about El Olam, you will hear about Yeshua or Jehovah or Jehovah, what we call it in English. In that same verse of the scripture, the Lord God, the everlasting God, the creator of the heavens and the earth. I just referenced Isaiah 40 and verse 28. You hear about Elohim. Now, why do they call him Elohim? In Jewish parlance and in Jewish culture, they don't like to refer to God as God out of reverence and out of respect. So oftentimes they will spell the name of God in their literature works without putting the vowels. They will just write it at consonants. So when they will write it, they will spell it as what we would refer to as YHWH in English language today. And then they will refer to him. They know it stands for Yahweh or for Jehovah, but then they will substitute it with Elohim, which is referring to the same person, but choosing not to call him with his primary name out of reverence. So that's how we get the word Elohim. You see in Isaiah 7 and verse 14, Isaiah prophesied about Emmanuel, which is God with us. And then the next slide, we'll begin to talk about Jehovah Jireh, the Lord my provider, Jehovah Mekdish, or some people will call it Jehovah Mekodishkem, which is the Lord that sanctifies me, Jehovah Nisi, the Lord our banner, Jehovah Rapha, the Lord that heals me. I think the slide has moved on to the third one. Jehovah Sabaoth, which is the Lord of hosts or the Lord of the angel armies. You hear about Jehovah Shalom. He is our peace. Jehovah Shammah. Ezekiel, the last verse in the book of Ezekiel, he said, the name of that city shall be called Jehovah Shammah, for the Lord God is there. You are the body where God lives. So Jesus is telling you, I am Jehovah Shammah. The Lord is there. The Lord isn't going to be there. The Lord is there. Jehovah Sikenu, which is Jehovah, the Lord, our righteousness. And then you hear about Messiah, which means the anointed one. Now, if you go to the New Testament, you wouldn't find many. You just see Jesus. Why is that? Because Jesus is the sum total of the revelation of God in the Old Testament. What does that mean? That means that Jesus is both Adonai. He is both Alpha and Omega. He is both the Ancient of Days. He is the living God. He is the God of knowledge. He is the God, the mighty God of Israel. Everything that God was referred to in the Old Testament is revealed in the person of Jesus. So you don't need to know Hebrew. You don't need to know Greek. All you just need to know is Jesus. Why? Because if you need healing, he will show up as Jehovah Rapha. If you need peace, he will show up as Jehovah Shalom. If you need righteousness and sanctification, he will show up as Sikenu and Mekadish. Whatever you need, Jesus is up to it. Whatever. 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 It's an open check. That's why you don't need to bother yourself. Oh, I don't understand all of those things he mentioned. All you need to know is Jesus. Because in Jesus, you have the summation of all of the various aspects of God that was revealed in times past. Now, the full revelation of those names is in one person. And that is Jesus. That is Jesus. So taking this discussion further, the second point I would want to discuss with you, how did he obtain that name? How did he obtain that name? And if you take a look at our text, you will find out why that name was given to him. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 and 6 and 7, it says, particularly verse 6, who being in the very nature God, he did not consider equality with God, something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing. He made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. Verse 8 would say, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death. So, looking at those three verses, you see that the obedience of Christ to making himself nothing was what God saw in Christ and conferred that name on Jesus. When we talk about making himself nothing, it does not mean that Jesus stopped being God. No. What it means was that Jesus didn't come on earth with all his privileges as God in heaven, sitting on a throne, asking people to serve him and to worship him. No, he left his heavenly glory, voluntarily refrained from using his heavenly powers while he was on earth. That was why he needed the Holy Spirit to come upon him before he started doing ministry. So what Jesus did was, imagine being a human being and you needed to save the ants and you have to leave all your brain and everything you are as a human and became an ant in order to save them. That's just an example. That is emptying of yourself. That is making yourself nothing. That is taking the form of a servant just because of you and I. There was nothing Jesus did that was for himself. It was because of you and me. So the first point was the level of obedience to the will of the Father in giving up everything he was, so that we can become reconciled with the Father. That's why God gave him that name. The second point from that scripture shows why God gave him that name. He didn't just come as a man, as a servant, but then he died. Why is that important? He could have just died like a normal man and maybe buried and resurrected. But he didn't die a natural death. He was killed. Putting it point blank, he was killed. That means if he wasn't killed, he could have carried on living. He was killed. Isaiah used the word, he was cut off. But then he wasn't just killed by accident. He was killed deliberately. Now, he wasn't just killed deliberately. He was killed in a way that shows that both God and man had rejected him. And in Jewish culture, if they want to show that you have lost favor with God and man and you've been sentenced to death, they kill you by crucifixion. So they take you outside of the town, go to a lonely place, and then kill you by hanging you on a cross. Once that is done in Jewish culture, what that signifies is that you are cursed by God and man. That signifies that you are a traitor. You are a blasphemer. That shows a sign of lack of favor with God. Little wonder Jesus shouted when he was on the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? It was because he had become cursed. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 13. The Bible says, cursed is every man that hangs upon a tree. So Jesus had become our curse. That was why God saw what he did. He saw that he didn't only come as a human. He saw that he didn't only humble himself to be carried by a mortal for 9 months to go through the natural process of birth, to learn how to walk even though he is God, to learn how to talk even though he's God, to live like every other human even though he is God. And then when he became an adult, the people he came to save took him and took him outside of the town and got him killed. They didn't just get him killed. They hung him on a cross and they said, by that action, you are cursed by God. And we join God in cursing you. Can you imagine? And Paul said, because of his emptying of himself, because of how he died, therefore, in verse 9, therefore, God has exalted him to the highest place. And that is the key part of the scripture that I want us to look at today. The power of his name. The power of his name. So verse 9 to 11, let me read it again. Given all of this background that I've painted, Paul writing to the church in Philippi, he now says, therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Why is that important? That is important because following his death and resurrection, I have read the scripture in Psalms 24 over and over. But I want you to picture it this way. It may not be the way it happens, but that's the way it blesses me. When Jesus got up from the grave, when he was ascending to the heavens, remember, in the heavens, no one as a man had ever gone up there. The Bible says that the powers in the second heavens would say, who is this King of glory? Who is this guy that wants to come into heaven as a man? And then the angels will respond, he is the King of glory. He is the Lord of hosts. Lift up your heads, O ye heavenly gates, and be lifted up, you ancient doors. What is his name? The Ancient of Days. That the King of glory, they said, no, don't know. Who is he? We don't know any man that will ever come in here. And then the angels will say, calm down. This is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He is worthy to take the scrolls and to open it. He is the King of glory. So that is what we mean when God says, I have put a name on him. That at the name Jesus, that is the highest legislative authority on earth. There is no other name bigger, higher than the name of Jesus. So let me tell you what can happen at the name of Jesus. At the name of Jesus, a sinner can become a saint. Because Acts 4:12 says, for there is no other name given unto men by which we can be saved. Acts 4:12, the name of Jesus makes a sinner a saint. You don't have to pay for it. You can't earn it. You don't deserve it like I don't. But once you put your faith on that name, your name is written in heaven. And you are translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son. You become a child of God. Such that if you die, you are going straight to heaven. Jesus has gone there ahead of you, so the gates will open for you. Oh, somebody shout hallelujah. There is no other name given unto man by which we must be saved. What can happen at the name of Jesus? Oh, I like this. We have victory at the name of Jesus. Christians have victory. We are not hoping to overcome Satan. We have overcome Satan. We are not hoping to overcome sin. We have overcome sin through Jesus. Because what happened when Jesus died? He took our curse. He took our sin so that we can share in his life. So that we can share in his glory. So that we can share in his awesomeness. So that we can share in his divinity. That's what happened. Let me give you a scripture in Old Testament that shows it. 1 Samuel chapter 17, when David faced Goliath, what did Goliath do? The Bible says Goliath cursed David in the name of his gods. Small G-O-D-S. That's where he made a mistake. He took the battle from physical realm and went into the spiritual realm. He cursed him in the name of his gods. And David said, you come against me, verse 45, with sword and with spear. But I come against you in the name of the Lord. Oh my God. He made a mistake to curse him using the name of his fake gods. And David said, you don't know what you have just done. You just come to me with the name of your dead gods. I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty. And I told you the names of all of God in Old Testament talks about the name of Jesus. And the Bible says that the name of the Lord is a strong tower that the righteous runs into it and they are saved. So the Christian has victory in the name of Jesus. You have victory in the name of Jesus. What can happen in the name of Jesus? Demons become powerless. Somebody say amen. Demons, devils become powerless. You know, we are living in the world where people don't want to talk about what they cannot see. So because we can't see devils and demons, we want to live our lives as though they don't exist. I'm sorry. They do. I wish I could tell you they don't. But I would be telling you a lie from God's pulpit. I wouldn't do that. They do. But we are not afraid of them. We don't live our lives cowering in fear, worrying about what's going to happen. No. Luke 10 and verse 17. That was even before Jesus died. He sent his disciples and they went and they preached. And the Bible says that when they came to him, they said, Lord, even the devils were subject to us in your name. In your name. In your name. And then Jesus said, that's not a new thing. For behold, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. He said, behold, I give unto you power to trample upon snakes and scorpions and upon every other works of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. How did he give us that power? His name. His name. Why do you think in church we pray in Jesus' name? Because Jesus says, whatsoever you ask in my name. In my name. So it's not because we want to sound somehow when we pray. No, we are only following Jesus' instruction. It says, I give unto you power. How did you get that power? Mark 16, 17 explains it. After he resurrected, before he ascended, he says, and these signs, plural, not singular, and these signs, let me repeat it, not singular, and these signs shall follow them that believe. The first, he says, was in my name. So when I read that scripture, I read it this way. In my name, in Jesus' name, I will cast out devils. In Jesus' name, I will speak with new tongues. In Jesus' name, I will take up serpents. In Jesus' name, if I drink any deadly thing, it will not hurt me. In Jesus' name, I will lay hands on the sick, and the sick will recover. I'm only telling you the scripture. Mark 16 and verse 17 and 18. So Jesus says, I give you my name as an authority over devils and demons. What can happen at the name of Jesus? Divine healings. I will call them otherworldly miracles. That's a miracle that is from another world. Otherworldly miracles. Miracles that you cannot describe with your medical knowledge. Miracles that you cannot explain how they came about. Acts chapter 3 is a very good example. There was a man who was born lame, and people would carry him to the temple every morning so that he could ask of alms as from those who are coming to prayer. And that day, Peter and John, they were going to prayer. And then when he saw them, he asked for alms from them. And they didn't give him arms, they gave him legs. It's quite interesting, isn't it? But what am I trying to say? They said silver or gold, pounds, sterling or cents, I do not have. But such as I have, how did they get it? Jesus. Such as I have, give I to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and work. It's interesting that you need to know, in chapter 4, when they came to them and asked them, by what power, verse 7, or name did you do this? So the people who were interrogating them understood that name carried power. So they asked them, by what power or name did you do this? And Peter answered, he said, let it be known to you, everyone, that it is by the name of Jesus Christ that this man is standing before you working. So I'm trying to say that divine healings, otherworldly miracles, power are available to you and I in the name of Jesus. I wish we could have Acts 3:16 on the screen. I think it's really very important. And that's the last scripture I will reference for us to pray and then end the service. Acts chapter 3, verse 16. There is a reason why I want you to see it with me. If we can have it, yes. Now, it's interesting that when they were explaining how they healed that man, or how God healed that man through them, they were clear that it was not their own making. It was not because Peter was Peter and John was John. And they said, by faith, in the name of Jesus, this man who you see and know was made strong. Oh, can we read the last part of it together, everyone? It is Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him that has completely healed him. I want you to look at the first and the third part, faith. 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 And that's where you and I got an assignment. God is trying to say, I have done it all and I have given you that power in the name of Jesus. Your job now is to exercise faith in that name. Let me repeat it. That's why I wanted it up. God's done it. It's finished. That's what Jesus said on the cross. The victory is yours. But then, as long as you haven't gone to heaven yet, you are on earth, Satan will attack you. Sickness will come. Challenges will arise. God is saying, when you cry to me, look at your sickness, look at your condition, and address it by faith in the name of Jesus. So you say, you cancer afflicting my boy, in the name of Jesus, I frustrate you. You are not working anymore. You say, you uterine bleeding that I have suffered from, by faith, in the name of Jesus, I stop you from working in my body. You talk to that your child that has gone away from following the Lord. You mention his name. You say, by faith, in the name of Jesus, I call you back to your faith. You have the power to do the things that Jesus did by faith in his name. Let's stand to our feet. I just want you to, for a moment, open your mouth, close your eyes, and address situations in your life by faith. You don't have to shout about it. All you just need to do is to be bold and speak to any condition. Could it be COPD? Could it be osteoarthritis? Could it be back pain? Could it be diabetes? Could it be cancer? Could it be dementia? Could it, whatever it is, say to it, in the name of Jesus, I command this part of my body to receive healing. Open your mouth and declare. You may not be sick. You know someone who is sick. Say, in the name of Jesus, I pray for you wherever you are. Receive your healing. Just do that. Don't wait for me to pray for you. Do it on your own. Lift up your voice and address your life. Say anything. Are you struggling with addiction, alcoholism, drug use? Say, in the name of Jesus, I break that yoke of addiction. I break that yoke of alcoholism. I break that yoke of whatever it is. I want you to exercise that authority. You've got 60 more seconds to do that. Lift up your voice and say to the situation, in the name of Jesus, I exercise faith over you. And I command healing. I command breakthrough. I command a turnaround. I command a change. Jesus has given you the power. Jesus has given you the authority. Are you struggling to recover from having been in hospital? Speak to your body and say to my body, I am whole through faith in Christ Jesus. I declare my body whole. I declare my organs functional. I declare my eyes working. I declare my womb, my legs functional. Speak what you want to hear in the name of Jesus. You have been given that power. You've got 30 more seconds to do that. Just speak to that situation. Speak to that situation. Do you struggle to sleep? Have you had chronic sleep problems over the years? Tonight, say, today, I go to bed and I sleep like a child in the name of Jesus. What is it that has troubled you? Are you afflicted by devils? Today, say to yourself, I cast out devils from my environment, from my life. I am Jesus. I belong to Jesus. I stand for Jesus. So Satan, you cannot afflict me. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. If you wouldn't mind, I want to pray for you. Can you lift up your hands? Father, for everyone in church, sitting, standing, lifting up their hands, I pray that in the name of Jesus, let miracles, signs, and wonders begin to happen in their lives. Let it happen in their families. Let it happen in their children and grandchildren. Let it happen in their extended family. Let it happen in their health. Let it happen in their marriages. Let it happen in their places of work. Let it happen in their finances. Let it happen in their relationships. I declare that victory that Jesus has given us in his name, it becomes our experience. It becomes our reality from today onwards in the name of Jesus. We receive our thanks, testimonies today. We receive our miracles today. We receive a change in our lives today. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for in Jesus Christ's name, we have prayed. Amen.